This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
Awesome. It's great to be with you guys. You can hear me? Yes. Lovely. It's great to be with you. My wife and children send their greetings. They can't be here. My wife has to work. Someone has to work tomorrow. So they can't be here, but they send all their love. I wanna read a portion of scripture with you guys. Do you have Bible? Do you read Bible here in Pretoria? It was such a privilege to worship with you. I actually, at one stage, I had to ask someone, is it like this amazing every Sunday morning? So well done to the band and just to everyone. I think it's great, the humility and the tenderness that I experienced just worshiping with you. So I want to honor you for that. Thank you. That was amazing. I think it blessed me more than anything else. Last night I said to Philip as I drove from Potchefstroom, I don't know if the churches that we serve when we are away get blessed more, or we that travel get blessed more. So it's just something happens when you get in the car, you drive away from your people and your place, and you get to experience worship and fellowship and God's presence with other people. So I'm really excited to be here. I want to share something with you this morning that I believe it will bless you. It's something that is dear to my heart, and we're going to read about it in Philippians 4. Okay, so Philippians is there in the Old Testament? Not? Okay, so you do read the Bible. Philippians 4, it's quite a long portion that I want to read to you. Is that fine? Yes? Okay, so it's from verse 4 till 13. Famous Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens him. I don't know if you guys know Tim Tebow. He's an NFL player. He wrote Philippians 4:13 under his eyes, the first scripture. And I think it was first Philippians 4:13, the first time. And then he wrote John 3:16 for a Super Bowl game on his eyes. And 90 million people Googled John 3:16. I don't know. There's so many people that doesn't know John 3:16. 90 million people. So Philippians 4:13. But I'm going to start with verse 4. Okay. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again. Rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. And then verse 6. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, this is important this morning, and the peace of God which transcends all understanding will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace, second time that he references to the peace of God, will be with you. That's a promise. The peace of God will be with you. Verse 10, I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you have renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you've been concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I'm not saying this because I'm in need, for I've learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I believe you have read this, but we're going to look at this morning again. I've learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do everything through Him who gives me strength. I can do everything through Him who gives me strength. Okay. So, who of you would like to have your own bodyguard? Who has dreamed about that? Huh? No, you're such a bunch of humble people. No one ever dreamed of having a bodyguard, okay? Well, people with bodyguards are important. So I believe that's why we dream about having a bodyguard. It's not for the safety. It's just so that we can show people, hey, look here. Isn't he strong and powerful, protecting me? We did India missions when I was in Stellenbosch, and we had an Indian bodyguard. Now, Indian people are usually this high. Okay, they're actually shorter than me. But that guy was massive. The biggest Indian that I've ever, not like the Indian on, this is an Indian, like a person from India, you're with me. Yes, yes, lovely. Okay, the biggest Indian guy I've ever seen in my life. He was like, I'm not big, but he was like, he was massive. And it was the greatest fun for me to just walk behind him and next to him and just, if I see radical Hindus, if I see people staring at us, I'm just like, yep, he's with me. He's with us. So we have a body, we have bodyguards or people that do have bodyguards. And you've seen this movie. These guys are extremely, extremely great at sniffing danger. Okay, when there's the president gets out of the car and there's a curtain going there on the fourth floor, they see it and they know there's a sniper. They run up, kill the sniper. President is safe. Go, and everything is sorted. These guys know danger and they're there to protect whoever has them. But I think it's strange that we spend a lot of money and time and energy to protect ourselves. Are you with me? I've got an alarm system. I don't know if you've got one that I don't use that often because the dog disables it in the middle of the night, and then it's actually more traumatic than which if someone would break in, because then everyone is awake and everyone is there someone in the house? I don't know. Is it the dog? Is it the cat? What is happening? But we spend a lot of money, burglar bars, alarm systems to protect ourselves, to protect our physical bodies. Am I right? Okay. But this morning, I want to submit to you something that I believe is important for us, is that there's something more important to protect than your body. And it's what's going on in your mind and in your heart. That is actually more important. I would an insurance company, maybe someone here should start, Michal, maybe you should start an insurance company for your thoughts. To protect, I'm there to protect your thoughts, or I'm here to protect your heart. We can call it something, heart insurance, mind insurance, and you can pay something. That is the most important things that we should guard. And we don't speak about that often, we don't think about that, but Scripture is very clear that in this portion, Paul says to these Christians in Philippi, he says, listen, there's something that will protect you. There's something that will guard your mind and your heart. And he referenced in verse 6 and verse 7, he says, that bodyguard for you, it's the peace of God. The peace of God will guard your mind and your heart, and it will protect you. So this morning, I don't know where you are and how you feel about the peace of God, but I know we need to be reminded about this often. We live in the age of anxiety. Do you know that? We really live in the age of anxiety. My YouTube study, okay, it's not official, it's not done by a doctor, it's done by me, says that anxiety is one of the most researched topics on YouTube. It's actually for Christians in the top three things that they want to listen about. Anxiety. How do I reduce my anxiety and stress? And I'm going to explain to you this morning what I think we can do out of this portion of Scripture to reduce our anxiety and our stress so that we can live in the peace of God. Now, if you hear the word peace, you think, okay, peace might be the absence of conflict or the absence of, you know, people arguing and fighting. But peace in Scripture is not the absence of something. It's the presence of someone. Okay, so peace isn't, you can have peace in the middle of World War III. You can have peace while your children are running around and doing crazy things. You can sit on your couch if you have the ability to do that, and you can have amazing peace. Okay, I've got a 5-year-old and a 2-year-old. Peace is something that we treasure. It's a commodity, it's worth a lot in our house. You can have peace in the midst of suffering. You can have peace in the midst of the worst circumstances that you can think of. You can have peace in the middle of that because peace is not the absence of something, but it's the presence of someone. And we know that someone is Jesus. He's the Prince of Peace. Now, I like this. One preacher refers to peace. He says that he goes through his day, and then somewhere in the day, he realizes that, listen, but I'm onrustig. I'm not at peace. And then he asks himself the following question. He says, where did I leave my peace? And then he goes back in his mind and says, yes, I had a phone call at 9 o'clock. And that phone call, someone said something to me and it disturbed me. So I want to go back and I want to repent actually for leaving my peace there. You see, peace is a possession. If you're in the kingdom and you've submitted your life to Jesus, it's a possession. It's something that you have. Maybe you leave it somewhere, and I think it's a daily struggle to live, and a fight, not a struggle maybe, but a fight to live in the peace of God. But it's our inheritance. That's what I want to tell you this morning. If you are in the kingdom, if you're following Jesus, it's your inheritance. You can live in the peace of God, which is great. Amen? Yes, and everyone shouts, amen, hallelujah, wave the handkerchiefs at me. Yes, it is amazing to live in, okay, I'm Potchefstroom, it's those people, the Afrikaans, but they can swear a handkerchief, huh? They can, we've got Pentecostal services there, not really, they'll just look at me like this, okay, Gilly. But peace is our inheritance, and I want you to ask yourself this morning, not in a condemning way, okay, because I want to say this. I know that in church we do this, and I do this as well. So don't be, I'm not condemning you. I'm just saying this is a fact. We do this. Someone says, yes, I'm anxious, and then we quote scripture at them. Yes, but God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. And I'm like, yes, I know that. Can I slap you now? Don't preach to me. I just want you to climb into my boat and sit with me and be anxious with me for a minute, and then we can pray. We do this in church. We don't allow ourselves to experience anxiety. And especially on this topic, it's like there's a shame connected to it. We're very hesitant to be honest about what we think and what we feel. And especially when it comes to fear and anxiety. Mental illness, suicide, depression, all these things, it's a massive, massive issue. And I said to our church, we need to be a church that are willing to speak about it. That's willing to say, listen, I've got an issue. I've actually got depression. If you want to judge me about that, that's fine. Okay, but I want to be transparent and open to you. My mother got saved like 10 years ago. And she really struggled with depression. And when she got baptized, God delivered her to a certain extent of that depression, but still today she needs to take medication, and occasionally there will be times when she really struggles with this, because the accusation will be, you're not a woman of faith when you take medication, and then we have to tell her, you will take your medication, okay, because otherwise it's not nice being around you, so please take your medication. But we don't speak about this. We feel inferior when we have thoughts like this. You maybe read the news the last, or there's a, I follow church news, so it's a some other magazine. There's a pastor, well-known pastor in America, I think it's 3 or 4 weeks ago, that he confessed to his congregation. He said, guys, I'm struggling with depression. Now, I don't know what a congregation should do with that, how you should respond to that, but he confessed it and he said it and he lived openly about it. So they knew this, that he struggled with mental stuff, a mental illness. And he committed suicide. He's in his 30s, wife, 3 children. So when we speak about anxiety, depression, and suicide, we're not speaking about people that's not here. Okay, because usually we think, yeah, this is important for that one and that one and that one. I'm speaking to you guys. Okay, so don't think about your mother-in-law or your father-in-law. Think about yourself this morning. I'm speaking to you. I experienced, and I'm going to be vulnerable this morning because I want you to be vulnerable. And I know if you, sometimes when we think, oh, if the pastor can struggle with it, I can struggle with it as well. We've been through a season where this has been very evident in our home. To such an extent where we had to go to Mediclinic to have checkups because there's heart attack. We thought we were having heart attacks. We had to see doctors. We had to rearrange our lifestyle. And there's a way that we can look at this. We can look at this as poor faith, or we can look at this as an invitation from God to have more of Him. And that's how I see it. I see it as an invitation from God to have more of Him. But I want you to hear this morning. When we struggle with anxiety or fear, there's nothing wrong with you. I want to give you this morning the tools to handle it. And maybe you say this morning, listen, I've never struggled with it before. I promise you, and I'm not a doom prophet, I don't want to prophesy this over you, but I promise you somewhere in your life, hopefully not, but probably somewhere in your life, that thing will come knocking on your door. And then you need to know, what am I going to do with this anxiety and this fear, and how am I going to handle it? And I remember a sermon that someone preached 3 years ago, and I'm going to look for my notes again to just see how can I handle this. So I want us to this morning be very honest. I experienced that actually in your worship, so I don't think it will be a problem for you guys to be honest with each other and say, listen, I've struggled with this, or this is in my life, yes or no. Okay, so Paul gives us five things that we should do to not struggle with anxiety, to reduce our stress. And you can have stress in whatever area of your life that is. It can be in your marriage, it can be in your finances, it can be in your business, it can be in relationships, it can be spiritually, it can be whatever. Okay? It can be in any area, but there's a certain way that Paul gives advice to this Philippians that you can handle it. Why were they under stress and anxiety? Because it was a Roman colony, and they were afraid of their life. They were afraid that the Romans will persecute them and kill them and execute them, so they were anxious. So that's why Paul wrote this to them. Okay, so five things out of this passage that Paul says you can do. The first thing is the following. You refuse to worry about anything. Say anything. Look at verse 6. It says, do not be anxious about anything. There's nothing in that scripture that gives us an ability to onderhandel, okay? It says, do not be anxious about anything. Yes, Lord, but it's 2018 and the economy, and you know, Lord, it says, do not be anxious about anything. Lord, this guy and this guy is saying this in the media, and I'm anxious about it. It says, do not be anxious about anything. Nothing. So, I believe there's a few things that makes us anxious. And I want to quickly, just five things mention to you this morning. That I believe if you reduce these things, or if you check them occasionally, you will see what is causing your anxiety. I literally take these, there's seven things, the other two I'm going to explain to you later, but I literally take these seven things and I'm like, which one, why am I anxious? Why am I feeling like not at the peace of God? Why am I not experiencing the peace of God? And I go through them. The first one is the following. It's your intake. Your garbage in. If you take garbage in, there will be garbage out. Okay? Now listen to me. A few years ago, we said, you know, if you look at horror movies or pornography, that's garbage. I'm not speaking about those things. I'm speaking about just the normal info. We have an info overload. Where's my phone? He's here with me. Yes. Please be near me. No, I'm joking. We have an info overload. I mean, you on your couch, you're going through the news feed in Facebook, and you're just seeing everything that everyone is doing. That is a whole lot of struggles right there. Comparison. Oh, they're going on vacation again. Okay. Oh, she married right. Yes. Yeah, they're on the beach again. That's nice in the Bahamas. Oh, okay. Oh, they've got such nice children. They never show the backside of the children, like the when they go crazy. No one shows that on Instagram or Facebook. We do that. We sit on our couch. We compare ourselves to people's highlights, and I know you guys know this, to people's highlights, and we are in our pajamas, we feel overweight, we feel not good about ourselves, and we're like, oh, life is bad. Okay. So, apart from just taking all that in, it's I read about this pastor that killed himself. Like, I think a few hours after he actually did it, because that's how fast the news traveled. One morning we were in church, we were actually busy worshiping, and one of our members, he came to me and he said, we should pray for, I can't remember where the last bombing was, but we should pray for, let's say Washington. We should pray for Washington. They just bombed it again. I'm like, can we just be in the service and enjoy God's presence? I'm not going to pray for Washington right now, maybe later. But that's how quickly information travels. This one says that on media, and we all read it, and it makes us anxious. There's a wonderful function that I want to show you this morning. Maybe you've seen this function, okay? It's, I don't know what phone you have, but it's, for me, it's here on the side. I'm going to show you what it does. It's wonderful. It's amazing. It's new. Okay, just look at this. Slide to power off. Okay, I'm not going to do it because then I can't see my time. But you go like this. Then it's off. I really believe that we need at least one day a week with no media. Like a sabbatical. Okay? Please take a sabbatical from your media. Put your phone down. The day you spend with your family, turn it around. Put it off. Whatever you need to do. And just don't be online. Just be with your people. Be with God. Don't take all that info in. So your intake is the first thing. The second thing, are you still with me? Is our priorities. I don't think we know how to say no anymore. It's a very powerful word. I'm going to teach it to you. No. Say no. No. Okay? Please say no. To anyone apart from Philip, you can say no. And Pastor Yaku, just say no to all of them. No, 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 no. Okay. Last week, this is amazing. I was on holiday. Was it last week or the week before that? We had art club. The first time we were at art club and my parents came to visit us. So the Tuesday I was at the office doing I don't know what, but I was on holiday. And someone phoned and said, listen, we have family and they're coming and we want you to marry them on Saturday. And the loving pastor that I am, I thought, sure. They're not going to get someone else to marry them. It's too short notice. And they said the following. They said, someone else in the other show of our congregation gave them a tip that I will do it. And I said, you know what? Here's my answer. No. I so enjoyed it to just say no. A few years ago, I wouldn't say no because I would feel responsible and say, listen, I should do this. It's my Christian duty. But I just said, I've got a week with my family and with my parents and with my kids and with my wife. Sorry. I'm not going to do it. No, it'll just take an hour. No, it won't just take an hour. It will take an hour to get ready. It will take an hour to prepare. It will take an hour to do the service. It will take an hour to get there and get back, and that's 4 hours. So, no, I'm not going to do it. Just say no. Have your priorities aligned and know them. What is your priorities? What is the things that are important, and commit to those things? You cannot commit to everything. Okay, so be willing to say no. The third thing is we're indecisive. We're very indecisive. James says the following. He says, if you're double-minded, you will not receive anything from God. Okay? If we're indecisive and we sit, and I know this is for certain temperament types, it's difficult. Okay? I like to make a decision quickly, and then I regret it afterwards. Some people just take their time making decisions, and they sit on it, and they sit on it, and they argue with themselves, and they debate with themselves, and then there's this massive amount of anxiety because you just need to make a decision. So maybe there's something in your life this morning. Just make a decision, okay? Maybe you're waiting for God to answer you. That is great advice. If He doesn't answer you, make a decision. Make a decision. So that's the third thing. The fourth thing is what makes us worry is purity. The thing that causes the most anxiety is when we have masks. It's so difficult, and I can write a book about this because this was my life before I met Jesus. It's so difficult to speak jock to the jocks, okay? And then speak academics to the nerds. And then speak kair to the boys. Okay? It's so difficult. Just be who you are wherever you are. And where, And I'm not, obviously there's something like emotional intelligence, okay? I'm not saying be not intelligent. I'm just saying be who you are wherever you are and in whose company you are. Just be yourself. Because if you're not, you try to remember, oh yes, I'm this kind of person here and I'm this kind of person here and I've told this thing to this person, I must actually remember it. So it's very difficult if we don't live in integrity. Apart from that, if we try to be someone at church that we're not at home, that causes strain. Okay? If you carry hidden sins around that affect your purity, it will make you anxious, I promise you. It will make you anxious. Live in the light. Live in relationship. Live an open life. Say, listen, I'm struggling with this and I want to tell you about it. Can I just live in the light and walk in the light? You see, the weight of sin and the weight of anxiety, it's actually very heavy. It's really heavy. So that is the last thing, is that you need community. You need people around you. And I know you have small groups. And if you're not in a small group, please be in a small group. It's going to change your life. But we need community. We need to be surrounded with people that love us enough so that we can be honest with them and not be isolated. Okay? So refuse to worry about, say, anything. Anything. Okay? I'm not saying it. Paul's saying it through the Holy Spirit. Refuse to worry about anything. The second thing is talk to God about everything. Talk to God about everything. I'm going to read you verse 6 again. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. Talk to God. One of the causes of a prayerless life is that we experience a lack. Okay, because in James, again, James writes and he says, you have not because you ask not. So if you don't ask, you will not have. If you don't pray, when you pray, you normally ask for something or you just fellowship with God, but sometimes you ask for Him for something. If you ask Him for something, then He can provide for you. But if you don't ask, you will not have. I remember it so clearly. I was at a, and this is now a bit of our story at Shofar Potchefstroom. I was at a conference and I looked at this place and it was in a church and I felt so discouraged going home. I was like, Lord, when are we ever going to get there? The sound desk of these guys are more than what we can spend in a year on expenses. I was just like, we're never going to get there. And I remember laying in my bed that night and the Lord saying to me, you have not because you ask not. And that evening, I said, okay, Lord, we're going to trust you to buy a building. And you guys actually helped us. I don't know if you know that. To help buy us that building. So God used you. Thank you for that. And it changed a lot for us. But we didn't have because we didn't ask. Because we just think, well, this is how it is. And when we ask, God will provide for us. Who of you, when you were little, when you asked your father for something, you worried how he's going to get it? Who? No one. My daughter, if she asks me the new bicycle or this or that, she never thinks, how am my father going to get this? How's he going to pay for this? She doesn't worry about that. But what do? When we ask God, we think, Lord, how will you provide this for us? It's not practical. It's not going to happen. Maybe through this person or maybe this way or maybe that way. We should be more childlike and just ask. Let the detail be up to Him. Let He figure out how He's going to bless you, how He's going to provide this for you. Talk to God. Rather than panic, pray. Rather than worry, worship. Okay, so what would happen if all the time that you spend to think about things, to worry about things, if you spend all that time to pray about it? Won't that transform your life? Huh? I think it will. I don't know about you, but the older I get, the more I worry. Okay, because there's more things to just... I'm just like all over the place. So instead of worrying, just praying. Saying, Lord, please, this situation, I want to submit it to you. Take care of it. Lord, this and this and this and this, please take care of it. So the second thing is talk to God about everything. This is the only thing that the disciples asked of Jesus. The only thing that they asked Him to teach them is they said, Lord, teach us to pray. I don't know how your prayer life is. I know it can always be better. But you should think about this morning. How often do you pray? Do you spend time in prayer? Do you spend time with God? And not just with your shopping list, but just with Him, in His presence, seeking His face, seeking Him first. And then when we are in His presence and we enjoy His presence, then we can say, Father, I've got this and this and this, and it's really heavy on my heart. I want to submit it to You. I want to give it to You. Cast all, 1 Peter 5 says, I'm going to read it to you later, says, cast all your cares unto Him. I've tried that verse. Okay, this is a belatedness again. I've tried that. Cast your cares. Lord, here it is. Here it's all. And then nothing changes. Because every promise in Scripture, there's a premise. It's a promise and a premise. What's a premise? A premise is God promises His peace, but then there's something that we should do. These five things that I'm telling you now is what you need to do for the peace of God to enter your mind and heart. It's not just going to enter. It's a fight. It's a fight to not be anxious about everything. It just don't just happen. It's something that you need to fight for. To pray about everything is a fight. So if you keep your promise, He will keep His promise. And the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard your mind and your heart, which I think is a worthy thing to live and fight for. You've experienced the peace of God. The first time I experienced grade 7 at a camp is the first time I actually gave my heart to Christ. No one said anything. I don't know till this day why they did this. In Mooresburg, Michal will know where that is. We had a camp there, and we came out of the room, and they burned a cross. It's not the Ku Klux Klan. It was just they burned a cross, and we gathered around the cross, and no one preached anything. We just prayed, and I experienced the presence of God for the first time. I was usually someone that wanted to talk to everyone and chat. That evening after that session, I just laid in my bed. I'm like, yes, I've never experienced this peace in my life, and I want it for the rest of my life. And you've experienced that when you're in worship, that peace of God. When you're in your car and you sing and you're pray, then that peace of God, that's an inheritance that we can have every single day. The third thing is thank God in all things. Thanksgiving. Thank God in all things. What does thanksgiving do? Thanksgiving doesn't twist the arm of God. Okay? It's not like we're trying to secretly manipulate Him. Thanksgiving changes your perspective. That's what it does. That's the only thing that it does. When we start to thank God for difficult things in our life, and in the beginning, if you're anything like me, I think you will feel like a bit of a hypocrite. You thank God for something that's really difficult in your life. Like, thank you, Lord. Not really thankful, but thank you. Okay? If you keep on doing that, Scripture says it's a sacrifice of thanksgiving, then what will happen is your heart will change. The way you look at this problem or this person, it will change. Lord, thank you for Sunny. Oh, I want to slap her. But thank you for such a lovely, godly girl. Oh. If you keep on saying thank you, then the way that you look at her will be the way God looks at her. It will change. Paul and Silas in prison, beaten, basically to death. In the middle of the prison, they literally said in the middle, the most center cell that they could put them in, guarded, chained on the arms and the legs, and they started to worship 12 o'clock in the evening. If you read that portion of Scripture, they started the Thanksgiving service right there. And it says, Scripture says, you can go and read it, it says that the prisoners were actually taken captive by the presence of God. Because when the doors of the prison opened, they didn't run out. If you watch Prison Break and all these series, what happens when that prison doors open? The guys go crazy. Okay? Scripture says that they were seated. They were like, we've never felt something like this. It's the presence of God, the peace of God. I believe that some of them felt for the very first time. Not trying to escape, just enjoying the moment. What happened? Paul and Silas, that was the last moment to be thankful. We're in prison, beaten, bloody, our backs, no clothes, nothing. We don't know if we're going to be executed or we're going to live to see another day. But let's just start to thank God for what we are experiencing here. I mean, that's the last place that I will be starting to moan and groan and, Lord, this is too hard for me, my life, and then feel sorry for myself. And I know it's just me. You guys will worship, but there are situations in your life that you can thank God for. Okay, Thanksgiving is the third thing. The fourth thing, I'm almost finished, is think about good things. Think about good things. Verse 8 says, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. We want to invent this in Potchefstroom. We want to, this will sound very new agey, but we thought it would be great if you can have a USB port somewhere in your body and we can just plug you in and we can see what you're thinking about on the screen. Huh? What would happen if we plug you in and put your thoughts on the screen? What are you thinking about? You know where the battle for your peace is. It's between your ears. It's right here. It's not in your circumstances. It's not having more money. It's not having disciplined children. It's not having the perfect marriage. It's here. It's in your thoughts. Whatever is noble and pure and right and holy, think about these things. So we have a saying. We say, rather replace than rebuke. Okay, so we actually learned at a certain stage when we think about something that we shouldn't be thinking, we should rebuke the thought. Yes? Are you, yes? Philip teaches stuff like that, yeah? Yes? Yaku goes, I've heard that. Okay, so this is how it will go. You'll have anxious thoughts or you'll start to worry and then you'll say, no, demon of fear, I rebuke you in Jesus' name. And then again, 2 minutes later, you fear again, rebuke you in Jesus' name. And then you fear again. What do you do? You place the, and I'm not saying we shouldn't rebuke, okay? I'm just saying sometimes we should just replace the thought. So rather than rebuking everything all the time, just replace the thoughts. Whenever you're anxious, start to pray for someone's salvation. I promise you that anxiety will leave you as quickly as we say daylight. Just start to pray for someone in your company or someone in your family. It will leave. So just be a bit on attack. Just replace the thought. There's some theologians I've read about this. They say that what they actually do is they think about someone or something in their life that is noble and true and pure and righteous. So some of these guys say, listen, my wife fits that description. Okay, don't answer it now before your husband or wife. Okay, just think silently in your head, does that person fit that description? But literally, when you start to worry and be anxious, think about your wife or your husband. Replace the thought. Okay, because we usually want to think about Jesus on the cross, and that is spiritual and good and holy and wonderful, but sometimes it's too far removed from us. So when we think about someone or something in our life, a testimony in our church, someone that got saved recently, or someone that experienced breakthrough, and we think about this, then our thoughts start to change. Think about what is good and noble and holy and pure, okay? Corrie ten Boom, I want to read you this saying of it. Corrie ten Boom was a lady that used to hide Jews in a home, she and her family. They caught her, they killed her whole family. She was the only one left. And she was in the concentration camps, and she said the following. She said, if you look at the world, you will be distressed. If you look within, you will be depressed. But if you look at Christ, you will be at rest. I think that we can take that from her, that she lost her whole family. If you look at Christ, you will be at rest. Jesus going through the most difficult thing in his life, okay, being crucified, and not only the physical part of it, but carrying the weight of sin on himself. Being away from the Father, okay? Paying the price. And Scripture says in Hebrews 12, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. How did he experience that joy? He thought about it in a different way. John 13 says that he knew that God has given him all things. So even before he had to lay down all things, he reminded himself, listen, God has given me all things. I'm willingly laying down my life. And because of that, I'm filled with joy. It's important what you think. Paul, in Philippians, he was in prison. He wrote this letter out of prison. And in the beginning of Philippians, he said, "For me to live is Christ and to die is gain." Now, I wonder how many times he had to remind himself about this when he started to worry. Am I going to be executed or am I going to be free? Am I going to see the churches that I ministered to again or am I going to die? For me to live is Christ and to die is gain. That's what he reminded himself of. Tian, can we call you guys forward so long? The last thing I want to share with you is the following, is to be content with all things. Paul says, I've learned contentment. I've learned when I was in need to be content. When I had a plenty, I can be content. I can be content in all things. What is contentment? I know maybe you know this. Contentment is if we have joy in the present because we don't think that something's going to come along that will make us happy. It's not that you live without faith. It's not that you settle for less. It's just that you're not on the lookout for anything or something to make you happy. That's what contentment is. You know what helps? Two things that helps us with contentment. Stop comparing yourself with other people. That's what social media actually doesn't help us with. Stop comparing their highlights with your lowlights. Stop comparing yourself. It's your journey, your road, your faith. Jesus will start it and he will end it. And you need to be obedient to what he's called you. I need to be obedient to what he's called me. Okay, so stop comparing yourself. It's easier then to not be content. Okay, to be content, not content, to be content. And the second thing is stop thinking that more is better. We think when we have more, that's better. If I have more money, that's better. You know when life is the most uncomplicated? When you have no money. Stop thinking that more is better. I told the church in Potchefstroom, I said, I don't want a boat, okay? I'm going to trust God that someone in this congregation will buy a boat. Because when I have a boat, this is a stupid example. When I have a boat, I have to have a car that can tow this boat. I have to spend time to wash my boat. I have to pay fees to enter the dam and play with the boat. I have to put petrol in the boat. So having more, I think that will cause me to be happy. But I'm just going to trust that someone in the church will buy a boat and then I'll just hop on. Whenever they invite me, and I'll live a simple life. Okay. So whatever you want, just pray for someone else that they will get it, and then you just like, I gaan dit instand hou nie. I'm not going to take care of it. That person will take care of it. Be content with all things. 1 Peter 5. I want to end with this. 1 Peter 5, verse 5 to 11. It says, "Young men, in the same way, be submissive to those who are older. All of you, clothe yourself with humility." My question this morning, why are we anxious? Why are we anxious? What is it that makes us anxious? And Peter gives us the answer here. Clothe yourself with humility toward one another, because God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. There's that scripture again. Cast your cares on him. But you see what the scripture says just before that. The premise for this promise is that you should humble yourself. You should humble yourself. Then it goes on, it says, be self-controlled and alert. And the next one says, your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of suffering. Isn't this true, that when we are in suffering, we think that it's only us? Life is so hard on me. I'm suffering. I'm feeling suffering. If you're feeling suffering or you're going through a bit of trials and tribulation, know that there's people before you that's been through the same things. You're not exempt. Okay? It's the same stuff for all of us. And the God of all grace who called you to his glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, you suffer a little while. If you suffer all the time, there's something else wrong. If you suffer a little while, I'm serious, because I get to a lot of churches, then we think it's spiritual to say, hey, so I'm going through the fire. Jesus, he's pruning me, burning stuff out of my life, and it's always the same. It's always burning and pruning. That's not the Jesus that I know, I tell you. He's a joy to serve. He's a loving Father. His presence is, there's fullness of joy. It's not hard all the time. So don't be hard and hard on yourself all the time, saying, I'm going through this difficult thing. But there will be times, and it will be a little time, a little while. While will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. To him be the power forever and ever. Amen. I think the problem with our anxiety is that is our pride. That we've got an idea in our head and we want it to be like that. And if we this morning just say again, like I experienced in worship, really, that we say, Lord, I want to humble myself. Your plan, not my plan. Your purpose, not my purpose. Your ideas, not my ideas. Lord, and if it's different, if it's going to look different or feel different, I'm okay with that. I've got a community of people that love me. I'm not going to live in the dark anymore. I'm not going to hide stuff anymore. I'm going to bring it into the light this morning and say there's a real struggle for my joy, for my mental health, and for my heart, and for my joy. So I want to submit myself to you. I want to just lay down all these ideas. So can I pray for us for that this morning? Let's just close our eyes. Lord, we thank you, Jesus, that you are the Prince of Peace. And this morning, Lord, we declare that peace is your presence in our life. And it's our inheritance as your sons and daughters, Lord. We inherit your presence. Lord, we don't deserve it, but we experience it. And your grace is enough for us to carry us into your presence. And this morning, Lord, maybe there's some of us, we're removed from that place of peace. Thank you for this promise that it will guard our mind and our heart, that we can put this morning all our cares on you. We want to humble ourselves before you. We want to humble ourselves and say, Lord, that you are seated on the throne of our heart. You are King of Kings. You are Lord of Lords. There is no one like you. There's no one like you. I want you just there in this moment where you are, I want you to just say these words this morning. Just humble yourself in whichever way you want to say it this morning. Lord, I just humble myself before you. Just humble myself. You are more than enough. I don't want to be God anymore. I want to climb off that throne. I want to put that crown on your head. On your head, Lord. You are worthy. You are worthy. Lord, we declare that as a group, you are worthy. You are worthy. I want to pray for people, and I'm not going to call you to the front. I'm going to give us a chance to just turn to one another and speak about this for a moment. Before we do that, I want to pray for you. If you're here and while every eye is closed and you're saying, Gilly, you know what, man, I haven't experienced the peace of God in a while. I'm anxious, I'm fearful, I'm worried about a lot of things. I want you to quickly just raise your hand. Just stay where you are. You can raise it and then lower it. Awesome. 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 If you raise your hand, I want you to quickly just hold your hands in front of you. And you're going to receive as we pray. So Lord, we thank you that we can be honest with you this morning. And I pray for every single one in this room, Lord, even if we didn't raise our hand. I pray for the peace of God to be our inheritance. I pray, Lord, that anxiety will leave us in the name of Jesus. Thank you that 1 Peter says, Lord, that we can stand firm against the enemy. We can stand firm. Some of us, we're going through this valley of the shadow of death. And we thank you that we will not stop in the middle, but we will go right through and straight through it. You are with us. We declare that this morning. You are with us. We're not alone. We're not alone. We're not alone. We love you. We love you. Thank you for your peace this morning. We receive it, Lord, as a church. We receive it. We receive your peace. We receive your joy. just as we are seated like this, I believe there's some of us that struggle to sleep. If that's you, I want you quickly just to raise your hand. I want to pray for you. If you struggle to sleep. Awesome. Yes. Lord, we thank you for these precious people. These precious people. Lord, and today we want to just stretch our hands to them, and we want to declare, Lord, that they will be rest. Lord, those bad dreams, Lord, those demonic dreams even, Lord, that will stop in the name of Jesus. It will stop in the name of Jesus, and they will be rest. They will be rest. They will be able to sleep. We say, Lord, that there will be an end to insomnia. There will be an end to sleeplessness. Their hearts will be at rest. Their minds will be at rest. I believe there's some of us that we struggle a lot with our thoughts. It's going very fast. If that's you, I want you to quickly raise your hand. If you really struggle with your thoughts, that's all over the place. I want you to stretch out your hands as I pray, okay? There's a lot of you. Let's just stretch out our hands as we pray. Yes. Can we ask the people around you, if you see someone raising their hands just around them, let's just place our hands on them. Let's place our hands on them. So quickly look, and then we just place our hands on them. We're going to pray for them. Yes, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Yes. Lord, we speak calmness to that storm in Jesus' name. To every thought, Lord, that's not aligned with your word and with your will. We say this morning, Lord, in the name of Jesus, our thoughts will be still. Our minds will be still. And we submit to you. We humble ourselves before you, Lord. And we just thank you this morning for clear thoughts. Even for vision. For some of us, Lord, we've lost our vision. We thank you that we will regain vision in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Lord, some of us has lost that love relationship with you. Lord, because there's a constant fear. There's a constant anxiety. We thank you that you restore it this morning in the name of Jesus. Lord, your presence will be evident in our life. It will be evident, Lord, when we spend time with you. In Jesus' name. Lord, thank you that we will be able to express ourselves. Lord, some of us, we struggle to express ourselves before you. We thank you that we can declare this morning that you're a good God. You're good, Lord. You're good, Lord. And that we are safe with you. We are safe with you. You will provide for us. You will take care of us. Every need, everything, you know about everything, Lord. Thank you for a moment where I just believe you want to comfort us. You want to come around us and comfort us. So Holy Spirit, we pray for your comfort right now in Jesus' name. That tenderness of your presence. Thank you. Thank you that you're in this place. You want to comfort us. We just give ourselves to you this morning. We give ourselves to you this morning. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Let's just sit for a moment in God's presence. Just there where you are. Just close our eyes. I want you to quickly express to Him what you experienced now as we prayed. Just spend a minute to speak to God. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we declare that we just love your presence. We love to spend time with you, Lord. That there's no one like you. This morning, we just take off the masks. We take off the burdens, Lord, that we carry, the weight. And we want to yoke with you. We want to yoke with you. Lord, we want to walk with you. Thank you that we can declare that your yoke is easy and your burden is light. And some of us, Lord, as the enemy comes to whisper in our ear that we're struggling, we're suffering, and it's because of you, because of our faith. We just say that we will not agree with that in Jesus' name. Thank you that you're here to comfort us, Lord, to help us, to take care of us. And we are safe in your arms. We're safe in your arms.
Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for your presence in this place. thank you that you are the Prince of Peace, Lord. And right now, let me thank you that you rule and reign in every heart here, Lord. And we thank you for new hope, Lord. I speak hope over every heart in Jesus' name. Thank you for a grace to not only enter your rest, but to live in it, Lord, in Jesus' name. We thank you for this word. And we thank you that, yeah, as we go from this place, thank you that we do not depart from your presence, but we walk with you, Father, in Jesus' name, and that your peace remains with us, Lord. And I thank you for good fruit, Lord, in our hearts, even this week from this word, Lord. I trust for Holy Spirit that you remind us, Lord, that you give us grace to walk in the fullness of this word and see the fruit manifest in our lives and our families, God, in Jesus' name. Let your kingdom come in and through us, God. We're going to take some time now to pray for some people, but if you need to go, we're officially closing the service, so you're welcome to have some refreshments, and if you need to go, that's fine. But if you want to just stay for a minute and worship another song, and if you need some prayer, please remain behind. There will be some ministry. Right? And specifically, if you're here this morning and you feel far from God, or if you feel that, you know, you need to make right with him this morning. Maybe you feel you're not right with God. Maybe you have not accepted him as Savior. Then I'd love to pray with you and love to introduce you to him. And if that's your desire this morning to return or get closer to him, or if just to make right with him, please come to the front and I'd love to pray with you. And then specifically, if there's if this is maybe something you've been wrestling with, and we've spent some time praying now, but if you want to agree with somebody and pray about this, maybe there's been a cycle in your life, maybe there's been depression or anything like that, and like Hilly said, let's make it something we talk about, let's make it something we're not afraid to trust God for, amen? So if that's you, and if you have any other prayer need, please join us in the front, we'd love to pray with you. God still heals, he hasn't changed his mind about that, so if you need healing, we'd love to pray with you. If there's any other need, please join us in the front. But please stand, we're going to worship. But if you need to go, you're welcome to go. Let's stand together and we're going to close the service, but you're welcome to go. Father, I bless each person here. Thank you for Pastor Hilly. Bless each person here, Lord. And as we go, let your kingdom come in and through our lives, God. In Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.